Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. On the show today, we're going to talk to a career coach about how to find the job that's right for you. Helen Hariza is with us. She's a career development expert, an author, a speaker, entrepreneur, and she has a new book out. It's called Elevate Your Career, Live a Life You're Truly Proud Of. So, what's stopping you from finding a new career? Do you need help finding your perfect career? Maybe you found it and want to talk about that and how it happened. Join in the conversation. Give a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Helen Hariza, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, in the preface of the book, you talk about, or you ask the questions, have you ever been bullied? Have you struggled with a disability? Are you stuck in a job you don't want? Do you have a despicable boss? You lift a whole bunch of others, or a few others at least, and you said, I've been in all those situations.
It's true. I think sometimes those of us who are presented as experts are looking like they had an easy road. And I think many of us who have truly great support and inspiration for people have had to make a few mistakes along the way.
Yeah. And now you're a career counselor, and we'll get back to how you found your career. But what does a career counselor do for clients?
Well, primarily we meet them where they are and get a sense of what their aspirations are, what the obstacles are, validate their circumstances, because when you're in a transition, usually your anxiety is sky high. So career coaches, career counselors, we provide strategy, we provide emotional support, and we provide tools, mechanisms, models, assessments to help people make good choices.
Yeah. How do you find a good one?
I think referral. I would be hesitant to. You got to trust your instincts. If the best you can do is look in online and search for a career coach, but ask around is a good idea. Somebody who's recognizable.
Yeah. Well, you've been working as a career counselor for quite some time. Why did you decide to publish this book now?
You know, Larry, I felt like there's a lot of books on this subject, and some of them have been around for about 40 years. And that's probably what pushed me was I knew I had a career assessment that was really helpful. I had the model, the Elevate Career Cycle model, and I had 30 years of experience. And I wanted to create a book that is the solution for the 21st century that was really speaking to today's problems and today's solutions.
Yeah, as I looked through it and read through it, I noticed you give examples, I think, for people no matter what their age. It seems like you're trying to make it work for all ages.
Yeah, I do think that the process strategically and psychologically, while there's some nuanced differences for early stage career changes and midlife career changes, the psychological component of feeling stuck and misaligned, having to go through a process of self-discovery, wanting something that doesn't take forever and doesn't involve, you know, a 600-page book filled with checklists. Today, we can do it more efficiently and then help people use the technology and resources to find great fit jobs.
Yeah. And the job market is, as you write about, the job market is evolving considerably. And I think you talk about when people come to you, they want a job that they can settle into and maybe spend the rest of their career in. And that's not the way the market is necessarily working.
Right. And please let me say that there are people who do stay in the same career for their entire life or, you know, working life for the vast majority of it. You can never say any or always or never. That just doesn't exist. Having said that, Most people, especially younger people, are changing within every 3 to 5 years. The average person has 5 to 7 careers and 10 to 12 job changes. Those are accelerating. And let's not even mention the pandemic and all the people's lives have been disrupted. So what was really weird was I wrote that chapter before the pandemic and thought I'd have to update it. And then I read it again and I thought, wow, this is just exactly what we're all going through.
Oh, man. And it was interesting to me, too. You talk about different stages of life and where people kind of are and what they might bring to the job market, the different skill sets, if you're Generation X or earlier. Talk about that.
Well, I think our younger generations, I think whenever you generalize, you're in trouble. But having said that, I think that younger generations are even more motivated towards meaning and purpose. If they feel they're not being developed and given opportunities to grow and coach, they're out. They're very, very mobile. Mid-career and boomers, we have a lot of the same characteristics, but might be more willing to hang in there a little bit longer. We have a sense that we don't want to become a job hopper. In general, I will just end by saying most people benefit by changing jobs and should keep their eyes open for better opportunities. If you stay with something too long, sometimes you get stuck.
Yeah. Helen Araiza, our guest today, her book is called Elevate Your Career, Live a Life You're Truly Proud Of. Questions or comments for her, I hope you'll join in. Number to call 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. You start out talking about all the reasons folks have for not changing careers. What are the most common ones?
Well, the consequences are real. I think there's a lot of people that do my kind of work that love to say, follow your dreams, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. And I think that's borderline irresponsible. I think that career choices and career changes take a lot of time and effort. And so sometimes people will just stay to avoid that difficulty, or they're afraid of making a mistake. So for all those really good reasons, people do sometimes stay with something they don't like. But the flip side of that is the risk to your health, your finances, your relationships, and at the end, maybe a feeling that you've underperformed in your life. That's pretty heavy. So there's reasons why people stay, but there's also reasons why people yearn to do something that they really enjoy.
I just recently heard an interview with Dan Patrick, who's has a radio show, very successful one, but he started at ESPN and he was there a long, long time, many years, and then he suddenly looked around and realized that he was the only one left of the group that he had started with. And he got to thinking, you know, I probably should have left this job 3 years earlier.
Right. Yeah. And what I like about what you just said is that we do have these moments where we are realizing we're bored, or we're underperforming, or there's a values conflict in the workplace, or you just have another chapter to write. And I guess my advice would be, listen to that. That doesn't mean you walk into your boss's office and quit today. And that's why I wrote the book. You know, go get the book and get some help, put a plan together and make an awesome transition, not an impulsive choice.
Yeah, it was it really interesting listening to him. He went home and talked to his wife about it, and he had a contract coming up, and he turned the contract down, and then he was scared out of his mind for a little bit.
Yeah, it's for good reason. You know, yeah. But what's really cool is that when you take your life back like that, while you're terrified, you're excited at the same time. It's like, holy cow, what's next?
Yeah, what is next? Well, we have some caller online. By the way, again, you can join us 800-642-1234. Give a call. Bill in Spooner, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Larry. Thank you for your show. I always enjoy it. First comment is I recommend a book called A Year of Living Danishly. A Brit that moved to Denmark for a year. And there's lots of insights and amusing comments and insightful comments about changing careers in that book. And the second is a comment and a question to your guest. The elephant in the room about changing jobs is healthcare, maintaining your insurance, affording insurance while you're not covered by a group plan, working in the gig economy, which has no safety net. Specifically, could you zoom in on some of the strategies? And let me say just as a that you don't have a spouse who's got a group plan that'll cover you. You're the one that's got to provide your own health insurance.
All right. Bill, thank you so much. First, just let me, have you read A Year of Living Danishly?
No, I haven't. It sounds fabulous.
Yeah, it sounds fabulous. Well, what about Bill's comment about, well, healthcare and strategies for getting another job in this kind of situation we're in?
Yeah, really good question. So I have a client right now just pondering that situation. So there's a few ways you can go. One, you could try to transition within your current employment setting and try to keep your benefits, you know, sometimes moving to another job within your system. Another way to go, this lady really psychologically and physically can't stay with her current position anymore. She's so unhappy, but her husband is available to work. So he's going to go back to work. They're both in their early 60s right now. So he's going to try to secure benefits so she can be self-employed, which is what she wants to do. And then the third is what I do, which is I pay for my own benefits. Now, I don't have a lot of pre-existing conditions, but remember that buying insurance is an option. So there's different ways to go.
Yeah. Bill, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Helen Hariza, our guest today, questions for her about finding a career that suits you, or maybe you've got a story to share about how you found your own career. Give a call, 800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Talking about finding a career that suits you with our guest, Helen Hariza, her book, Elevate Your Career, Live a Life You're Truly Proud Of. Join in at 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Somebody else was wondering your advice for just lost a job. How do you start all over again?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is don't panic. And that's easy to say, not easy to do. I always recommend a period of strategic introspection. Take some time to get quiet and get clear about what your circumstances, what your resources are. Get a handle on your emotions, because if you've lost your job to circumstances outside of your control, you very well may be angry and depressed or both. And your livelihood is so important. You got to get a handle on that. And then after that, you look at the stages of the career cycle. You go through a self-assessment, you go through a research stage, and then you make a decision on what's next.
Charles in Green Bay, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So it's really odd for me. I've had this job. I got into transportation, and I got this job with this company about a year ago. And it's I'm not going to give you exact numbers. It's about $20 an hour. I make, like, the more freight I move, the more money I make. Well, and that's fine. But the benefits aren't all that great. I got approached by another company that would be like a huge raise, plus they give overtime and they have better benefits. Well, you guys were talking about, you know, the younger age is more likely to jump jobs. And I'm kind of at that point in my life where I don't want to jump jobs. So I just kind of wanted to hear what you guys thought, what you guys think I should do. I don't know.
Charlie, thank you very much for calling. Helen?
Yeah, I would be really curious to talk more with you about why you don't want to switch jobs if at least everything you mentioned sounds better. What you didn't talk about, you may have relationships with people you really like at your current job. There may be other intangibles that are holding you back. But if the one thing that's just really holding you back is you're afraid of change or you don't like change, I think that address that head on, get a friend to talk to, a family member, somebody who's willing to kind of support you through the transition, because you deserve to be happier, make more money, have better benefits. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Charlie, is that what is holding you back?
I don't know. I'm just going to have to sit down and really go over the pros and cons of it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, some of it is not wanting to leave, but, you know, definitely going to have to make out a list and just really sit and sleep on this one and figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Charlie, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your call. You can join in too, 800-642-1234. Email at ideas@wpr.org. Well, let's talk a little bit more about Charlie. You talk about making a list. What are things that you need, what he or anybody else who's kind of in a situation like that, what do they need to be doing?
Well, I think one of the things I would add to his process is to look back at another time in his life when he had a very similar situation where he was in something comfortable and was afraid to change. And what did he do before? You know, one of the benefits of living for a few years is that we've been through similar circumstances. And shockingly, we forget that we've been brave before. So I would add that. And as I mentioned, I also think do the list if that's your approach. But I think you need what I call a champion. You need someone who's going to cheer you on, and you need a sparring partner. And that's somebody who's going to kind of address your critical reasoning thoughts and sort of confront you and say, hey, you're not thinking this out clearly. So if you did all three of those, look back at a successful experience, make your list, and find someone to talk to.
Thank you again for that question. I think it'd be interesting for you to talk about how you found your own career. You write about that in the book, and I thought it was the whole process and your life finding that career was really interesting.
Well, I knew that I wanted to help people. But when I got into college and started looking at the academic requirements to be a counselor or to be a psychologist or even more big, a psychiatrist, I was just overwhelmed with the number of years. And also, I have a learning disability called dyscalculia, and it plagued me through my childhood, but I did really well in college. And all of a sudden, I don't do well on standardized tests. And so that was a big barrier to going. Even if I could afford to go to graduate school, I didn't think I could pass the GRE. And to make a long story short, I found that the university I wanted to go to didn't require a GRE. I just had to go ask. And then, you know, I was not doing well financially working in clerical jobs where I was an absolute nightmare. And I thought, well, what difference does it make? Why don't you go find a job and go to graduate school? So, you know, sometimes what seems just impossible isn't really impossible. And I just had to trust myself. And then when I got to graduate school, I finally found out that I not only did I find career coaching, which I love, but I found out I was good at it.
Yeah. And just as an aside, now many colleges and universities are no longer requiring the GRE, and they're looking at other aspects of a person's life in making the decision of whether or not they're going to accept that person. So I think that's kind of a good thing. I do. Shelley in Madison, let's go to you. Hi, Shelley.
Hi. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate your guest. My comment is a little different. I wanted to, first of all, agree and support her. I think that when you have any job, it doesn't matter what it is, if you do it with great passion and commitment and you continue to learn about the position and about yourself and other positions, opportunities will come to you like you've never even imagined.
Ah, interesting. Shelley, thank you. A comment, Helen.
Well, what I liked about what Shelley is saying is that she's bringing her A game every day. And you don't necessarily have to be always looking around for the next big opportunity. If you're shining, you're making great relationships, your reputation is stellar. Opportunities do tend to come to those people who are so outstanding in their field.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Shelley. You mentioned the Elevate career cycle, and maybe you can talk about that cycle and explain it.
Yeah. Most career changes, whether it's an internally driven one, I don't think I know what I want to do anymore, or it's external, you've lost your job. Either way, that is a crossroad. That's what the first stage on the cycle is. And a crossroad is a misalignment. And crossroads are usually pretty rough. They can be pretty uncomfortable and scary. And so the very first thing about knowing about the career cycle is that if you're experiencing those emotions, you're normal. In fact, you're healthy and it's natural. And that little piece of advice right there has helped me time and again. When I feel like I'm in the wrong spot, I realize it's going to be uncomfortable. And then you can follow the cycle, which is, it has four strategic actions and four stages. And it will help you move through the process to A, not panic, freak out, or think you're losing it. And B, to know what to do first, second, third, and fourth.
Yeah, it's pretty well laid out. Testing, you know, you don't like standardized tests very much, do you?
I don't. No, I don't.
So, but there are I don't know if you wouldn't really call them tests, but ways of evaluating yourself. You talk about, you know, evaluating your temperament, for example.
Right. Right. So when you buy the book, you get the assessment for free. That's what we call it. We call it a career assessment. And I invented the assessment. It's called Elevations. And it's not a test. It's a self-discovery process. And you get to clarify your values and the skills you enjoy using, the career interests that you have, and your temperament, as you mentioned it. And it's a self-validation, but it's also a self-awareness opportunity. And I think it's incredibly valuable in the career choice or career change process.
Yeah. You talk about, you have some great examples, I think, of people of finding their careers. I'm thinking of a couple right off the top of my head. Your friend Mason, for example, you write about Mason, and that's an interesting story. Tell that story.
Yeah. So top of his game in training and development and organizational development, he is one of the people that other people admire because he's so incredibly good at what he does and hard worker, all the good stuff, and a great human being. And he took a period of introspection over the holidays, and this would have been 2 years ago. This is a real story, as you know. And he got quiet, and he started realizing he really wasn't happy. And that's a really tough situation, because when you're so good at what you do, how can you deserve to be unhappy? It is very conflictual. And then he started to think back on his life, and what he missed most was being creative, being a musician, possibly even developing film scores. And So he didn't give up his livelihood. He couldn't do that. But now he's integrating music and creativity into his work. And he has made consistent progress over the last 2 years to get closer and closer to something. He's really, he's going to make that transition. And ultimately, he'll be a musician and an artist. And I can't wait to see how that turns out.
Yeah, it was really interesting to me to hear how he's doing that, because he's not really giving up his other job. He's keeping that, but he's also working his way into his new career.
Yeah, I can give you an update, and you're the first to hear it. They're relocating to a state where they are closer to family. His wife is ready to go into full-time work as a real estate agent, and then Mason will be able to spend at least 50% of his time in his creative endeavors.
It is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Another example that I really liked was Carlos. Carlos, who had gone to school to become an attorney, and one of those, well, you can tell that story a little bit, because it's one of these where you go and study and you find yourself where you don't want to be, really, in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. He he came into my office and he was flunking the bar exam, and he was working as paralegal and he was miserable. And I asked him, well, what do you enjoy doing? And he looked at me like, really, I pay for this, that question? And but he followed, and he said, well, I like luxury motor cars, you know, Jaguars, BMWs, et cetera. And he said, I go to the auction, I buy them for the lawyers at the law firm. I'm making way more money, you know, purchasing and selling luxury motor cars than I do as a paralegal. And I don't think I really want to be a lawyer. And I said, well, another moment of brilliance. I said, why don't you work with luxury motor cars? And we worked together for maybe 6 to 9 months. It was one of those longer things. One of the big obstacles was we figured it out. You know, he wanted a boutique luxury motor car dealership in California, but that's expensive and he didn't want to ask for help. And so I suggested maybe a contract with your father, not just asking for the money. So in each of these stories is the little nuances of what it takes to change a career, to overcome your perception of prestige and status. How could I not be a lawyer and be a car salesman, right? That's a you know, that's like the ultimate conflict. And how can I, you know, what is my wife going to think? And what is everyone going to think? And anyway, he ended up on the front page of the local newspaper as a success story because his luxury motor car dealership was so successful and his story was so wonderful. So yeah, sometimes you break the mold.
Oh, Helen Araiza, our guest today. Her book, by the way, I know some people have been asking, and I haven't repeated the title often enough, so I'll do it right now. It's Elevate Your Career, Live a Life You're Really Proud Of. And maybe we should just go back and go over kind of what the book is about. Well, we know what it's about, kind of, but what are you covering in the book?
Yeah, I think the book needed to be published right now because we need a contemporary platform that is comprehensive. As you said, it really doesn't hit an age range. It's for anyone who wants to make a better life, who wants to improve the quality of their career choices and career changes. And I do that by offering you a model, stories of real life transitions, and a free career assessment.
That's in a nutshell, that's what it is. Francis in Madison emailed wondering, what about if you're looking to change your career and relocate? How do you recommend tackling this? Which should you try to focus on first? And how do you make career connections in a whole new place?
Good question. And thank goodness we're in the 21st century for that question. For the most part, I would probably recommend that you try to do a job search before you move. If you can, at least try it. A lot of the work that you need to do happens before you pick up the phone or call anybody. You need to identify your target market. You need to know what kind of career you're going after. What's the industry and opportunities in the new location. And if your eyes are rolling up in your head, Francis, I'm sorry. But it is a lot of work, but it's really worth it because your career pays for everything else in your life. So do your homework and then look for the job. You can do all of that. They don't even need to know. And I don't want them to know that you're not in their city and state. I want you to put the new city and state on everything that you have on your website, your if you have one, your resume, your LinkedIn profile. Make it look like you live in the new location. And then if you can't make it happen, go ahead and move and keep looking at the new location. But I'm a believer in reducing risk and increasing the likelihood of success.
Francis, thanks for that question. And there's still a little time for you at 800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. I'll give you a little story about my own daughter, Emily, who's 17 years old now. And I think since she was probably 8 or 9, she's wanted to be a marine biologist. And now she's going off to college next year, and she's going to study to be a marine biologist. And that may or may not happen. That she becomes a marine biologist. But I've talked with her a number of times about all the different possibilities within that particular profession or within that particular area that she doesn't, her current goal is she's interested in cephalopods. So she would love to find the a new octopus that hasn't been identified yet. But that's probably not going to happen. So what about people at that age range where they think they know what they want to do and then sometimes reality comes in?
Well, I think she needs to be incredibly knowledgeable about her talent profile. I want her to know her values. I want her to understand the skills she enjoys using, her natural born temperament. Those are the things that will stay the same. Emily will essentially remain Emily, regardless of whether she discovers the next octopus or she gets into the field and finds out something else fascinates her or she gets seasick and can't do it. We don't know, right? But she's going to be okay as long as she's fascinated by her and then she lets the world change around her.
Yeah. I was intrigued when I saw that you had spent a semester at sea.
I did. I knew that I needed to build my self-confidence and my life experience. So on my 21st birthday, I stepped on a ship where I knew no one. And I spent 4 months circumnavigating the planet or the globe. And mostly third world countries. And I came home much more grateful for my family and my life and my opportunities. It was a really smart thing to do.
Yeah. And it helped you with sort of solidify, I think, your own career choice.
A little bit. The professor on the ship that I asked for help, he told me I should go into business. And I was like, oh, business. Wow, that's pretty vague. And of course, I'm a humanitarian counselor helping profession. So we kind of missed that part. And so it was another, you know, what was good about that, Larry, is that I took it. I did need to learn business and I am in business, son of a gun. Heh, that did happen. So even when
right.
It looks like. Even when it looks like it's the wrong advice and they didn't listen to you, I followed it for a while and I learned more.
Evan in Appleton, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. I went to school for marketing and right out of college got a job in sales and did that for 10 years. It was really successful. met a lot of people, but the career always had me on the road, always away from home. And after 10 years of that, decided I would like to do something different. And I ended up in that summer coming and working with my father on a golf course, not necessarily because that's what I desired to do, but more so because that was an opportunity that was available. And with that career, I make now in about a year what I did in maybe just a couple of months with my old career. But in my new career now, I am much more active, much more happy, far less stress. And the money aspect of the career, I don't miss it. You know, obviously I had to make some lifestyle changes and things like that, but just now doing something completely different than what I went to school for. And I found that this is really enjoyable. And now after 6 years here on the golf course, I took some education, and my father's retiring, and I am now going to be the head superintendent here at the golf course. So it's an entirely new career, and it's a great change for me. So that was my comment to you.
What a great story. Comment, Helen.
Yeah, just smiling, really. Brave, really brave. Not buying into the superficial story about what life has to be about, and staying long enough that it's actually going to turn into a good livelihood for you. And your health is good, and your relationships have been honored. So bravo.
Bravo for you. Yeah. And as somebody, a golf course superintendent, you get to see a lot of people. And typically on a golf course, people are kind of happy to be there and happy to see you and you to see them. So it's a great... It's a great choice that you made there, Evan, and I really thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Helen, I want to thank you so much for sharing about your book. It's a really interesting read, a fascinating read, and I appreciate you being with us today to talk about it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. It was my pleasure.
Helen Hariza has been our guest, and her book, let me give you the title again. The book is called Elevate Your Career, Live a Life You're Truly Proud Of. And Helen's last name is spelled H-O-R-Y-Z-A, Helen Hariza. We're going to stay in that mode a little bit, because we're going to be talking about small businesses in the state and elsewhere with our next guest, Making a Small Business Profitable. The Small Business Development Center is coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.